Item 9 from the Director, Department of Administrative Services, providing a post-incident informational verbal update on the courthouse fire. This item is informational only, unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Tyler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Supervisors. To my left is Gary Wozzak, and he's head of our facilities, and to my right is my deputy, Julie Esch. I'm going to begin by just giving you a quick overview, and then I'm going to pass the mic to Julie, and she's going to go into some more illustrative examples of where we are at. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity for providing this monthly update for you. Progress actually continues to on the courthouse complex in terms of the focus right now is really on the power supply. You should know that we have power coming into our core power plant now, the new core power plant. And if you want to see what it looks like, I'd encourage you to get in touch with Gary, and he'd be happy to provide you with a tour. It's pretty impressive. I can't say I know what I'm looking at when I'm down there, but it's pretty impressive in terms of this new power plant that we've got down in the basement. So now that we've got power coming into the building, our focus is really more related to getting that power distributed through the entire complex, which includes inspecting, repairing, and replacing transformers and that sort of thing. So there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of making sure that the power is distributed across the complex in an efficient manner. So the cause and origin on-site investigation by the insurance companies was completed several weeks ago, and the material related to the investigation has been removed or is actually in the process of being removed. As a matter of fact, you might have noticed coming in this morning that there was a very large flatbed semi-truck with a crane, and there's material being removed through the tunnel and the sidewalk as we speak right now. But the cause and origin investigation as it relates to the on-site effort is completed. So while the cause and origin investigation by the insurance company continues, we did receive a verbal update in that it appears that the source of the fire was in the primary capacitor, and that, in fact, it was a fire event, not an electrical event. Now, that's important because it speaks to the fact that this is covered by insurance since it was a fired event. Additionally, the initial report suggests that the cause of the smoke damage in the courthouse, and that was really the work around restoration, was focused on repairing smoke damage, was from the oil within the capacitor. So again, that was a verbal report that we received from the insurance firm as it relates to their initial findings. They also confirmed with us that there is no indication that the county's safety devices and equipment failed. These initial findings change nothing as it relates to what the insurance fund has stated to us in the past and what we have communicated to the various committees. They continue to assure us that the costs related to the courthouse fire will be covered under the policies. The next step is for the insurance companies to complete their investigation. Once that is done, we would expect that the insurance fund to withdraw their reservation of rights letter. And if things go as planned, that could happen within the next several weeks I'd like to hedge, up to a month from now. That's good news for us because what that does for us is basically free up the final funds that they've been withholding dependent upon the reservation of rights. On the logistical front, I believe you know that we've opened up the annex parking lot to staff. Outside of a couple of elected officials sneaking in through the fences and back door, everyone's been very appreciative and cooperative in the effort. We are working hard at finding a way to get 10th Street and the 10th Street entrance opened as soon as possible, but safety will be our primary driver. We still have a lot of activity taking place on 10th Street, the tunnel, and near the entrance. Actually, you might have noticed that the large flatbread truck, like I mentioned, is going to be there today and will actually be there throughout tomorrow as well. Anyway, getting 10th Street back will be an important topic at a meeting we have tomorrow, and Julie will kind of speak to that. As we get back to full power, we'll be rolling out our new appliance use guidelines and enforcing them accordingly. So in a moment, I'm going to ask Julie to speak to the work and the discussions of the work group team is now having and as we're entering this final phase of the project. As we stated frequently, remain confident that the costs related to the fire will be covered by insurance. You recall that working with the comptroller, we set up two accounts early on in the effort, and Julie's going to pass out a chart that the chair asked me to put together. And I'm hoping this will help us kind of identify how the flow of funds and what items are covered and what items potentially are not covered. But working with the comptroller, we established a $200,000 account to cover things completely unrelated to the fire, but discovered as a result of the restoration work. And we also established a $2 million capital account for things unrelated to the fire, but still need to be done due to like code issues or systems integration issues. So Julie's going to speak to that now in terms of what the final phase is and what they are discussing relative to these weekly meetings that are going on right now. Julie?
Supervisor Rainey has a question.
Tyler, who are these elected officials sneaking through the gate?
Mr. Chair, supervisors.
I suspect this Supervisor Mayo, but for the record, if you could just let me know exactly who are these elected officials.
Mr. Chair, supervisors, I would prefer not to, if that's okay. I don't want to make it an awkward situation for anybody.
Privately.
Thank you, Mr.
Good morning.
He can't name his own boss. Come on. All right. Ms. Esch.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and supervisors. Since the departure of Dennis Deacher, I've become the point person on the restoration project with the help of Gary Wozniak and many others. Since over the last couple of weeks, the Property Insurance Fund has asked Peeper Power, who's been on site since the beginning, and InSpec Engineering, actually who's been hired directly by the fund right now to evaluate the work that's been done thus far in the basement as far as the electrical system is pertains to, and moving forward, the next steps. We're at the point now with the fire, the money that's been spent, the equipment that's been ordered, is to start on the fund side with the help of the county and these other contractors to really get down to the nitty-gritty, all the backup information, testing that's been done on equipment, that testing that needs to occur to determine if other equipment should be replaced, repaired. That is being done to a very high degree of specificity. Tomorrow, the meeting that Mr. Tyler alluded to, we are going to be having all of the players together, including the fund, county staff. There will be a timeline that will be provided, is my understanding, and then a whole list of the equipment that's been either replaced, repaired, or has yet to be replaced or repaired in the courthouse basement for the upgrade for the electrical system. We'll have more information after that as to what phase two is going to look like and the time frame for that. One of the key things that we're trying to tell our contractors is, and they understand this, is we want to get 10th Street open as quickly as possible. So we're looking to see what equipment can be brought in through the loading dock from the criminal justice facility versus the hole that's in 10th Street right now. Once we get that in place, we've been also making contact with the City of Milwaukee Department of Public Works. We're waiting to hear back from them because they're a critical component to ensuring on their end that they are okay with the restoration work that's then done to the street to then, you know, open it to everybody, to through traffic. So those we're at kind of doing a parallel path right now. And again, we'll have more information after tomorrow. Anybody has any questions?
Supervisor Rainey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see there's a category of $200,000 in the contingency fund for small repairs. Are you going to provide us with a line item explaining exactly what those small repairs will be?
We could do that, yes. Okay. Yes, sir.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Walk us through that chart. I thought we were over $16 million in that main category.
Okay. Mr. Tyler wanted to clarify that, yeah, this is what we had approved and what we spent through the end of 2013. Right. And so the insurance fund is working with Universal Restoration to go over the invoices for 14 before those are paid.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't even recall from Tuesday with respect to agenda setting for the Finance Committee. Will you have a similar report for the Finance Committee?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, to my knowledge, it is not on the agenda. Happy to do so.
Well, I'm not the chair of this cycle.
Correct.
Nevertheless, that's why I was not necessarily clear as to whether it's on, but usually it's on a couple committees' agendas, if not three, from month to month, and I just didn't recall. Okay, thank you. Because I'm interested, since you're going to have this meeting tomorrow, when the update will occur for whatever happens tomorrow. That's my interest. When that information will be available to supervisors.
Mr. Chair, I'd be more than happy to give Mr. Cullen a call, or you, to give you some information if you want to put it on as agenda item between now and then. That's we could talk about.
Well, that's his call, but I would like I would like to have the information. For whatever information you could give me after tomorrow's meeting, I would appreciate that. To the extent that you could or can.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So, to some extent, this is the old news. I mean, this is what we've already received. What are we seeing? What are we scoping out in terms of what we see on the horizon, both in terms of what we believe is covered or will be covered, the unrelated, or the you called it the opportunistic, things that now's the time to do it, but that we may not have done it otherwise.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Supervisors, this is something that I had talked to you about, Mr. Chair. There's going to be some expenses related to bringing things up to code that are adjacent to the fire, and I think Mr. Wozniak can kind of speak to some illustrative examples. There's nothing, from my understanding, that's been decided at this point, but this meeting on Friday helps shape that.
Gary Wozniak, Facilities Management, Maintenance Manager. Chairman, Supervisors, the meeting that we're having tomorrow is going to, again, go over a lot of the old 2013, a lot of the work that was done, and again, identify a lot of the testing and justifications that were done at the time. There's certain pieces that are very close to the fire incident. USS 1 and 2 are right next door, and then some of the other transformers are off in other areas of the building. But as these new facilities get built in, to build them to code, there's sprinkler system and certain smoke detections that go in, again, according to code. When that occurs, also looked at the time is the other areas of the basement that will be on the same system, such as when we moved from the annex and all those shops and facilities areas were moved into the basement of the courthouse. Those areas may also need to be sprinklered. That would not be covered by the fund and the fire directly, so that's something that we would, as a county, would have to look at. Another example is the generator for the safety building. Typically, it's a type of generator that's put in as a backup generator and not an inline generator, something that would be expected to be run for a long period of time, and that seems to be the reasoning behind the failure of the generators, that it was running for a prolonged period of time and then threw a rod. That generator, though, as a result of the fire, ended up failing wasn't directly related to the fire, that would, might be something that would fall outside of the scope of the fund. So as we look at some of these kind of either adjacent or moving out in proximity from the fire where the fund obviously says this is something we wouldn't cover, those are the things we're going to have to look at. As it relates to the fire incident itself, and as it's been said many times, I from what I see, everything's being covered that was damaged directly by the fire. So again, it's moving out away, and there's several other things. Most of it relates to code. We might have a similar sprinkler issue with the fire pump in the safety building that may require some additional fire detection and sprinkler capacity.
If I may just add one more thing. As we've been, again, everything that we've been doing, even these meetings, include the insurance claims adjuster. So far, you know, we have not been told that anything won't be covered. Now, one thing that we do know, going back to the code issue going forward, is that our property insurance policy, there is a cap on code issue, so for replacement repair. So we are, that's like one of the things that we're flagging that we need to be cognizant of is how much code repair do we need to, related to code, do we need to do, do we not need to do, and then what of that will be in covered by insurance versus something that we may have to pick up as the county. So. Okay.
Supervisor Brown?
Yeah, just briefly to Chris, me, the question as to what impact this is likely to have on our premium, and you may not be the person to ask that of. I would think our Amy would be better able, perhaps. But
well, I can speak to that. We have been told by the property insurance fund to expect the premiums will go up. They have not provided us with any specifics on that, but yes.
I feel compelled to ask because we have been told time after time after time after time that insurance was covering everything. Now I'm hearing you say that there's a cap that we're getting close to, which means that the taxpayers are going to be on the hook. Is that how I understood that?
Not exactly. We're not getting close to. We don't know where we're at with the cap, and we're trying to stay within that cap. That's the whole goal. That's part of the discussion tomorrow.
I didn't even know there was a cap.
Yes.
That was the mantra that everybody was saying is that it was always going to be covered by insurance. Right? Wasn't that the mantra?
They'll recover with the increased premium over time.
Okay, so there's a cap now? This is the first I'm hearing of cap.
Just on code-related items. Because the courthouse has been grandfathered in for code requirements over time. Now that this event has happened and the replacement of this equipment, we're now being, and I don't know if, Gary, you can speak to more with some of the inspection reports and that we've been receiving, but now we may be required to do some of these code updates that we hadn't had to do in the past.
Is there a cap on our insurance? Is there a cap on our insurance? Mr. Tyler, is there a cap on our insurance?
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, to my understanding, there is no cap on the insurance recovery as it relates to, you know, costs related to the actual event of the fire. As you know, we're at about $16 to $17 million. There's no, from my understanding in the policy, and I don't know whether Amy is in a position to opine on the policy or not, or whether Corp Counsel is, but from my understanding in the policy, there is no cap as it relates to the costs needing to be recovered due to the fire. I think what Ms. Escher is referring to is, you know, this is a situation where, as we're doing the restoration work, there's some work that needs to be done either adjacent to the area that's being restored that requires bringing it up to code. Gary gave us an example of that. We have not been up to code. We've gotten, in essence, a free pass up to this point, but to get clearance and to move forward on continuing to occupy that area, we are required to bring it up to code. And I think that that's what Ms. Esch is referring to. Gary, do you have anything else?
One of the code issues that came up on the less directly fire-related is after we were inspecting and moving around with some of the other city inspectors and so forth, there was some discussion, not specific, but we had some discussions on egress from the courthouse in general, looking at the entrances to the north and to the east that have been closed and doing calculations with building occupancy and so forth. Again, as Mr. Tyler mentioned, the courthouse currently has grandfathered conditions on certain codes, and in changing certain things, such as the basement with egress lighting in the basement, it's not related to the fire. The fire didn't damage the egress lighting in the basement. The egress lighting in the basement was non-existent. It was non-existent because we were grandfathered in. If we have certain things that we're doing that are improvements directly related to the fire, there are certain code issues that we then have to incorporate into the other improvements being done.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I hope this is not the watershed meeting because, you know, this whole cap thing, and I'm sorry, but, you know, I hope there's not doublespeak or whatever going on. You know, that I didn't mean this, or this meant this, or mismeant that, or whatever, so that there's some wiggle room. I guess, being the simple guy that I am, I heard that all the expenses were going to be covered by insurance. So that's what I am going to base my judgment and my votes on.
Mr. Chair and Supervisor, I think that that's fair. All expenses related to the fire, we continue to get assurance from the fund that will be covered, and it's been covered all along the way. We established through the comptroller two specific accounts to accommodate any things that we either identified that were unrelated to the fire that should have been repaired or replaced. And we also set up a $2 million capital account for this kind of situation. And that's where in the final phase of wanting to make sure that we have legitimate occupancy of the space. And some of that means getting some of the stuff where we've gotten a free pass in the past, and now we're required to bring it up to code, completely unrelated to the fire, but now we're having to do that.
Supervisor Stasikounis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, thank you for setting up the $2 million capital account. I appreciate that we're looking at those things. I think there's a general belief that the courthouse has been neglected over a long period of time. Again, items that we got a free pass on, as you mentioned, and things that we maybe could and should have been doing, again, whether unrelated, the fire related. But I'll just give you my opinion. Now is as good a time as any. I mean, you guys have been scratching a lot of areas of the courthouse that, you know, you just don't get down there very often. And now because of the fire, you're seeing things. And I would be very supportive. I think this is a great time to, you know, and whether it's $2 million or whether we need more. I mean, you know, it still seems like it's a pretty good time to borrow money for capital projects. So I would encourage you to continue to look for, you know, as you say here, tangential systems, opportunistic repairs. I'm glad you did that. And I would be very supportive of building on that because, you know, now seems like as good a time as any.
Chairman, supervisors, just to respond to Supervisor Borkowski's comment, the Wednesday when the annex parking lot opened and we sent out a notification that you could park in your normal space and the south and north gates were open, I had a conversation with Mr. Tyler in the morning, let him know we had a green light, we were going to send out the notification. And at approximately 2:30 that afternoon after the email went up, I went up to his office to let him know that the south gate was inoperative. We had an electrical failure on the door. If anybody went to return to that door with their card reader, they would not be gained access. I did not want to have to go up and tell him that, contrary to the email, we had a technical problem and we were going to have to maybe scramble. Fortunately, our electricians and machinists within house were able to fix it, and I was able to notify him back again that day that we were good to go. The answers that I give are best I can on any given day. I'd like to give a report in 2 years so I can be completely accurate, but in trying to answer your questions, I just want you to know that we're doing our best to give you the answers that we can.
Ms. Tyler, I think we should expect that we're going to want this ongoing, and so if you could plan for a written report for the next cycle. And I would just ask that, as good as it is to look backwards, I'd like to, as much as you can, to show what you're seeing ahead of in front of you. You sort of allude to it with the one column, but then we didn't really get into. We sort of talked around it a little bit. So I would appreciate that for the future. Supervisor Weishaupt.
I think just one follow-up with Gary. The entrance for the criminal justice facility, you guys put a new door in there, but it's not complete. It doesn't open correctly, and there's no lock on it. I don't know what's going on there for the last 2-3 weeks now.
Well, as far as the lock, Chairman, Supervisors, as far as the lock, right now we're not putting a lock on it. The door is not at any time locked since the CGF is a 24/7. If we had to lock it for the situation of security or so forth, we have a bolt mechanical lock that would work on it. And as far as the door not operating, if you want to let me know after, if it's the handicap or whatever it is, we can have it looked at.
No, it's the middle. It's a brand new one they put in, and I think when you come into the courthouse, you should have a sense that things are clean and operable. You see a big hole in the door and it doesn't open correctly. It gives an impression that this is an organization that doesn't function correctly. If we can't even have the door swing open to the facility, in an appropriate manner. So, like I said, the work crew went in there 2-3 weeks ago, put the new door in, and like I said, I would see it as the unsatisfactory installation. It's not complete. So
I'll have staff put a blank on for the lock, or put a locking lock in there, and I use the doors every day. They open. I don't know. Again, you can let me know later what's not working with the door.
I'll be glad to walk down with you after this.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all. Seeing no further questions, we'll move on. Item 10.